destroyed our homes. We went into the mines. You set off your bombs and turned everything to ashes. You made us what we've become. Boom. Boom. Boom.
With my baby. What's so funny?
It's breakfast time.
I'll let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to take me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my horror show. Now it's starting.
Welcome to Horror for Dummies episode 36. We are the podcast that comes to you every week and teaches a thing or two to the dumbest little guy about the genre we love. I'm your host, Tim, and with me is the dumbest guy in the room. That's because there's only two of us. Ben!
Two is more than one.
Very good. My special little guy.
Yeah.
So this week's lesson, we are talking about The Hills of Eyes, the remake though, the 2006 remake.
That we are.
We are.
Yes.
On top of that, we've got a little bit of new movies. We're talking about a movie called Revenge, which just came out literally last week.
Revenge.
Yes. Actually, you're almost there because it's a French film, so I don't know what.
I don't know. I was kind of going for more like a Spanish-y kind of feel. But
okay. Spain, France, same thing.
Yeah, right. Not Australia.
Yeah. On top of that, we're going to be talking about Parkway Drive's newest album.
Yes, we are.
Reverence.
Reverence.
Yeah, so we've got a bit of a show lined up for you guys. But before we do any of that, Ben, how was your Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day?
Yeah, even though you're not a mother, but
I know, I was going to say, it was pretty disappointing. No one got me anything.
Yeah, but you were the bitch.
That's right,
if you were like me, you were the bitch.
And I was a good little bitch.
Fucking hell. You always make me laugh when I have a mouthful of water.
I know. I wait for those moments.
I'm shocked we haven't sprayed this computer yet.
I know, right? With water.
Yeah, so Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was good, man. I was a good little bitch. I fucking did all the nice things. Amy's first Mother's Day, so got a big bucket of peanut M&Ms and some flowers and a card. And I gave her like a beauty sort of voucher thing so she can go and get pampered and stuff while I stay home and look after Ash.
Oh, you're a good guy.
I know, right?
Wow. I didn't get Jaleesa anything.
Didn't you?
No, because Jay doesn't have any money.
Fucking, I know, that's what I was saying to Amy in the build-up. She kept saying, what am I getting? I said, I don't know, you better teach him how to go to the shops.
Probably fucking nothing. He doesn't have any money.
You're fucking disappointed, that's what you're getting.
That skit by Jim Jefferies on Mother's Day is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
That good.
Anyway, happy Mother's Day to, and even though we're way past Mother's Day.
Yeah, we're well past it, but
still, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. And even people out there who don't have a baby but have a fur baby, you are included as well.
That's true.
So happy Mother's Day to you. Anyway, let's stop talking about mothers.
We got
the usual show for you tonight. We've got some people who like to talk to us. We have a question to ask. We have a few movies and an album to talk about. So let's kick into this big mailbag with listener mail.
Listener mail.
All right, we're back with a few people that like to talk to us. One in particular, there's one man on this earth that likes to talk to us every week without fail, and his name is
Alan. Well, that was disappointing. I'm going to try that again because it just didn't feel right.
Someone's
Alan!
cha-cha.
Someone's going through puberty.
I'm a big boy now.
He writes, "My dude, you forgot about End of Days with Arnold. You could definitely do that on the show." And he's right. We're talking about what...
That is true.
What Arnold Schwarzenegger movies we could do on this show. And I completely forgot about End of Days.
I'm so happy he actually brought that up. That means there's another movie to do.
I know. I'm stoked too.
Yes!
And there's a mad lesbian scene between a mother and daughter, and that gets me hot.
Yeah.
He comes in again. The dance with the devil thing is from the first Batman. So you...
Ew!
Ben, it is possible to do the spin reload, so apparently I'm wrong.
Ha! Yes! I knew it!
I've seen it done before. It depends on the lubrication and the condition of the weapon and the skill
of the weapon.
You're speaking dirty, aren't you? And the skill of the user.
We're going to play this computer tonight.
It is also possible to do the pump the shotgun one-handed like Sarah did. My dad and one of his friends used to take two shotguns, one in each hand, and fire and rack them like that.
That is so cool.
It is. Alan, we want proof.
Yeah. Picture it didn't happen. But that is so hectic. Just imagine that. That is so boss. Plus, my mind was also still being dirty when after talking about that, he said it's possible to pump the shotgun one-handed.
He continues.
Humor.
He continues. I love T2. I used to hire it all the time. My sister was about 3 and would watch it with me and cry when Arnold would get melted in the steel.
Yes!
Thanks, fuck.
She's normal.
Yeah, you're a normal human being, Alan.
That's good.
I explained it to her, so then when she watched it, she could stand back, she could stand on the couch and give him the thumbs up back. Hell yeah, Alan. I dig it. And that... Oh, no, sorry. Alan comes in again.
Ooh.
This is an interesting, funny question. He has very personal to us.
Interesting, interesting. Go on.
So an evil witch name. You have to give me a second. Oh wait, I'll see what he's done. Kaka poop poop pee pee has cast a spell on Ben. The only thing that can keep him from dying is sex with Jaleesa.
Whoa.
She's cool with it as long as you're cool with it. Does Ben live? Ben, same question, but with Amy and Tim. I'll go first. Yeah, Ben, you can fuck Jaleesa.
Yeah, man, I definitely want Tim to live. Plus, we pretty much like are the same person, so it's really no different.
That's true. I'd let Ben fuck Jaleesa like now, if he wanted to.
I kind of like would let that happen just so we could like compare notes and see what happened.
We could find out who's the better in bed.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, thanks, Helen, for your questions and emails. We have a new listener. I don't know if she's a new listener, but new caller. Her name is...
Long time listener, first time caller.
That's right, yeah. Very good. And I'm sorry if I butcher your name. Mandy Ozipenko, I'm guessing. Sorry, dude. Sorry, love. Every time I listen, I love the intro song a little bit more. Well, every time you listen, we love you a little bit more, Mandy. So thank you so much.
That's true.
All right, the last person to call in was Anwar Olia. And I'm sorry if I butcher your name too. I'm not the smartest person when it comes to other stuff that's not horror.
That's true.
So it's like...
In real life, it's situations reversed.
Yeah, exactly. She asked, is a Serbian film from 2010 considered horror in your eyes?
It's considered fucked.
Alright, that's an awesome question, and we thank you for that, and here's my answer. Yes, it is a horror, and here's why. Horror is a very subjective genre.
Correct.
We've explained on this show that horror to me is different to someone else. Take for instance our Jaws episode, when some people, Jamie, wanted it to, or didn't want it. He called it a thriller. Other movies such as Silence of the Lambs, I don't actually consider them to be horror. I consider them to be much more of a thriller than horror. Yes, it has horror elements to it, but for the most part, it's thriller.
I would agree.
When it comes to the horror genre, it's filled with a lot of elements. This is all in my opinion, so take it for what do you want it. It has a lot of different elements that make up the certain genre. The main one being the fear, what scares you. But it also has what disgusts you, what's grotesque. These are all things that make up horror. And what's grotesque and what disgusts you is exactly what a Serbian film is to me. That movie is the only movie I've ever watched where I had to stop because of its grotesque nature. It's a movie that a lot of people, once again, is very subjective. And a lot of people can go off and say it's not a horror because of this reason, because of that reason. But to me, yes, it is a full-blown horror movie. It's a disgusting, grotesque piece of art. One that I think is not looked at properly because of its grotesque nature. And one that we may have to do on this show one day.
I don't want to.
So, yeah. So, that's just my opinion. But everyone else's is different. Ben, you haven't seen it, but from what I've told you...
Yeah, from what you've told me, it definitely would be classed as a horror.
Mm.
It sounds like a very, very uncomfortable movie to watch.
Yeah, because it has so many horrific things in it. And yeah. Look, I was listening to the a different show the other day, and they were talking about the scariest movies from each decade. And it was actually quite a good listen. And as I was listening to this, I discovered something about myself, is that how I've changed, how I've grown up with horror. So back in the day, back in the early age, movies used to scare me, such as Jaws or Nightmare on Elm Street, because I was scared of the monster in my closet, the monster under my bed. Yes, I used to think the shark from Jaws lived under my bed. Do not ask me why. I just did.
It makes more sense than it living in the chlorine pool that everyone was worried about.
Yeah, right? Anyway. But as I've grown, I've cared less about the well-being of myself and now pass it on to the well-being of my children. So films like... Take Train to Busan, for example.
Yep.
That movie scared me because of the little girl's performance in that.
Yeah.
And... this is coming straight back to a Serbian film. There's so much child things. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. There's so much child negativity in that movie that really bothers me.
Yes.
Because I myself have a newborn child and a 4-year-old.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's basically an answer to you. So, thank you so much to everyone who's taken time out of their busy schedule to email us or send us messages.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. We appreciate everyone being part of our big mail bag.
You just love saying that, don't you?
It's so good.
Oh, I've almost forgot. On top of that, we do have some reviews that I want to read out.
Well, do we now?
Yeah, so people have taken time out of their day to put on reviews on Facebook, and we want to give time out of our show, out of our day, to read them out.
Yeah, that's right. That's fair. Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate the reviews.
So... Jordan James Huxley, he writes, entertaining as shit. Never stop, guys. I'll have withdrawals. If you guys didn't see the Facebook page, Jordan James Huxley
made... Oh, fuck, it was so good.
He made a video for us, which is in relation to last week's show on the Terminator 2, when we talked about Randy Newman doing the Toy Story theme with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Fucking hell, man. Huxley, I love you for making that video. Hey, when I saw that, I was pissing myself. I watched it that many times.
I was so stoked. Because when he showed me that, I'm like, that's funny. And then I was like, I was looking at it, I'm like, holy shit, I think he actually made this for us.
Yeah, he did.
And that's so fucking cool.
That's so hectic.
So not only did you take time out of your day to write a review, you took time out of your day to make something for us.
That's so funny.
And you are easily the listener of the week.
Yes.
You along with Alan.
Yes, I was going to say.
Alan's a given. He's the co-host.
Yeah, that's
He's
right.
He's part of the show.
Alan's part of the show.
Speaking of Alan, here comes someone he knows very closely. Cherry Cola.
Ah, yes.
Ben and Tim are extremely handsome, and I just love accents. She gives us 5 stars. Thanks, Cherry.
Oh, stop it, Cherry, you naughty girl.
Jaleesa, she gives us 5 stars. She says nothing.
Oh.
Well, thanks a lot.
Stars speak louder than words, mate. It's better than her saying, these guys are great and giving us 2 stars.
Well, she could have said that host is good in bed, at least.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Well, she does. I've given her child. She knows. Last one coming from Dan Day, who he likes to do the cha-cha.
Ah, yes.
He writes, I like this show. They do cool things with words. ... I'm drunk. 5 stars.
I can totally imagine Dan saying that as well.
Yeah. Actually, I was with him when he wrote this review.
Fuck yeah.
I've never seen this guy that drunk before.
When was this?
Like a couple of weeks ago.
Was it at the engagement party?
No, a week before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was at a Bucks party and he had to trek from Sydney, like the city, to our place. Fucking and it took him like 4 hours because he kept falling asleep on the train.
Poor bust.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you to everyone who, for those reviews. If you would like to review us, go on Facebook and you can do that. Pretty easy. So thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, Ben, I believe you have a question of the week to ask.
I do, Tim. I do, as I do most weeks, in fact.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, Ben's question of the week, kicking it off right now.
Ben's question of the week.
The question. The age-old question. And by age-old, I mean about like 6 or 7 days.
Yeah.
Because it's question of the week. Yeah. Alrighty, guys. Question of the week for last week was, who is your favourite horror director?
Ooh.
Ooh. So, without further ado, let's get into it, shall we? Alan! Says... Is that pronounced Toby?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. What an odd way of spelling it.
Tobe.
Good old Tobe. All right.
You just stepped up your horror cred so much more now because you've made the mistake that many of us have before.
What? Saying Tobe?
Asking if it's Tobe or Toby.
I know. Well, it's fucking weird. Okay, so we've got Tobe. I want to just call him Tobe now. Fuck it. Tobe Hooper. Or Toby Hooper, as it were.
Yep.
Or George A. Romero.
Do you know who Toby Hooper is? What movies he's directed?
No.
Oh, Benjamin.
Do I?
Yes.
Who? What?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh. Fuck, he's
Poltergeist.
I still haven't seen Poltergeist, so. What?
Really?
And what, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original or the new?
The original.
Yeah, he's definitely a Tobe.
Wow.
The Big D comes in with, I kind of go through phases right now, Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
He does do some good work. But I feel like with Rob Zombie, you've got to be in the mood for one of his movies.
Look, I love Rob Zombie's music. I love his musics.
His music. I love the musics.
I was watching The Undead.
He do many goods.
But yeah, when it comes to his films, look, the first four films, what is it? House of a Thousand Corpses, yep. The two Halloween movies,
and Devil's Rejects.
What has he done? Okay, those four, I love those four.
Yeah.
And yes, I am a fan of the Halloween, Rob Zombie Halloween movies.
Yes. Yes, as am I. Then what, you got Lords of Salem?
Lords of Salem.
I haven't seen that, actually.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed by it, and 31 I was very disappointed by.
Yeah, I didn't see either of those, because I've seen all the other four, but I haven't seen either of those because you told me you didn't really rate them, so I didn't bother.
Look, 31's fine, but it's like, it's nothing new. I've seen it so many times before. And it's the fact that he came out and said, like, I put that script together in a couple of minutes, really turn me off.
Yeah, okay.
Because what you're gonna, cool. You made a script in half an hour. Good on you. Why don't you make a better one in like an hour?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not a bad movie. It's just true. Nothing.
I can take a shit in half an hour too.
Exactly.
Alrighty, we got Zim Vader, Adam Green.
Oh shit! I forgot all about Adam Green.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, Hatchet.
Oh, right, okay.
Frozen and...
Frozen?
Oh, fuck, what's it called? The Marrow.
Frozen?
Not the animated
movie. Yeah, I thought that was a really weird thing to bring up.
There's another movie called Frozen, which is pretty good. Yeah,
in that case, I'll just let it go.
Oh, shit, I'm having a mind blank right now. The Marrow, something with the Marrow. Adam Green does a movie about the Marrow. And I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's such a fucking good movie.
By chance, is it called The Marrow?
No, it's...
Because you said Marrow or what?
Into the Marrow or Under the Marrow, somewhere like that. Like, oh, fuck me. That's going to annoy me all night.
Righty. Jordan James Huxley.
Hey, a friend.
We got a friend in here. He said if we're talking horror first, if we're talking horror, First that comes to mind is John Carpenter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's because Huxley's the one who got me into Halloween movies.
Yeah, well, he's the Halloween man.
That's right. And he says, also James Wan.
Nice.
Solid choice.
I like
Solid
it.
Choice. And then, ooh, I think this might be the first time he may have written in. Mitch McDonald.
Wow.
I know, right? Haven't heard from Mitch in ages.
Yeah.
Stanley Kubrick.
Interesting choice.
Mm.
That is an interesting choice. Horror director? Yeah. What do we got? Clockwork Orange?
Don't know if I'd call it a horror, but it does have some fucking aspects of it to it.
Unless I'm missing something, that's the only real horror movie I can think of.
Yeah, but still.
He did Full Metal Jacket, so that's
good director nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yes. Alrighty, so that's all the answers for that question of the week. Now, to roll on another age-old / 7-day question.
Yeah.
Another question of the week.
Yeah.
I want to know, what is your favourite makeup effect in a movie?
Whoa.
So, is it something along the lines of someone getting eviscerated? And we're talking practical effects here, not CG, alright? Makeup effects.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
This is such a hard question because this is one that I'm going to give a few examples and then the listeners are going to come back with a lot more answers and I'm going to be like next week going, oh yeah, that one. Oh yeah, that one. That's a good one too.
You mean what happens every week?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So even more. So I don't know, the top of my head. Look, I'm gonna name one. Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, exactly.
The look of Freddy Krueger.
The burnt skin and everything like that, straight up.
Yeah. It's so good. And you can even narrow it down to, like, the mask of Leatherface, for example. Yeah.
Well, that's right.
Anything. So have fun with that, listeners. Yes. There's a lot of choices out there. We want the best of the best.
Of the best.
Actually, you know what my favourite one is?
What?
Now think about it. I've got a list. Jaws.
Yeah.
The shark from Jaws. Yes, I know.
That's it's more of not a practical effect than it is a makeup effect.
Okay, fine. You said practical effects.
Huh?
You said practical effects.
I thought we were talking makeup.
Okay, fine. Yeah, makeup. Alright. Yeah, alright. I'm off a totally different road.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bring your brain back on track.
Yeah.
So we're not talking CG, but we're talking, you know, because I mean, CG could still be like cuts and people's faces and stuff like
that's
that.
That's true.
They do that on Terminator a lot.
Yeah.
Where you see, you know, stuff like that. They just put green on their faces and CG it in.
Yes.
So I want the actual makeup. The makeup.
The Greg Nicotero's and the Stan Winston's.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
All right. Well, unless you've got anything else to add.
Nah.
I think it's about time we talk about a certain film.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to go to the desert, walk through the hills?
Not after watching this.
Let's go into our feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
My cake is ready.
Time for the show. Everybody on stage.
More and more, I'm forgetting the past. More and more, I'm living at last. Day by day, I'm losing my blues.
The Hills Have Eyes. Now, this is the remake we're talking about, not the 1977 classic by Wes Craven. The 2006 classic. Yeah, fuck it, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. It's a classic. It's weird. Ben's using binoculars right now.
I'm just imagining actual hills with eyes.
Before we start, this is probably the... That scared the fucking shit out of me. Yeah,
that freaked me out. Then I was like, what the fuck is that?
My alarm went off, and it's one of those screaming goats.
That's gold.
Because it's the only thing that wakes me up in the morning. Where was I? Oh, The Hills Have Eyes. This is probably one of the best titles to a movie.
Yeah. Okay. It confused the shit out of me the first few times.
Really?
And I'm like, The Hills Have Eyes? Why do hills have eyes?
That's because stupid. People are watching them from the hills.
Yeah, well, no, it makes sense now that I get... like, once I got it, but I mean, when someone first said it to me, I was like, huh?
Okay.
I was literally imagining just hills with eyes. I'm really? Like, that's a fucking weird movie.
I got it straight away. All right, well, anyway. This comes in a 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb. And a budget of $15 million. And raked in $69.6
million. Fucking hell.
Which was enough to... give it a sequel a year later.
Correct.
Which we probably won't ever do the sequel to this movie on this show.
Because it disappointed you.
It's not the worst movie I've seen, but yeah. In comparison to this, yeah, it's a disappointment.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so this was directed by Alexandra Aja, who he's done a few things.
Okay.
A little bit in horror. He's done a movie called High Tension. So, sorry, before I start, he's French.
Okay,
he's a French man. He's done a movie called High Tension, which is one that we have to do. So I'm not going to tell you too much about it.
Okay, cool.
Which is a French film.
Okay.
He did Piranha. He directed these movies. Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
The remake. A movie called Mirrors.
Uh-huh.
And is a member of the Splat Pack.
Oh, very good.
You look like you have no idea what's happening.
No, I'm listening.
Okay. Do you know what the Splat Pack is?
The Splat Pack, isn't that, a couple of directors that are well renowned for like going over the top with gore and shit. Like that.
He listens.
See, the very boy learns. Good. The boy learns.
Can you name? If you can name two, I'll give you two people in the Splat Pack.
Is Rob Zombie one of them?
He is.
Yes, and
I should have said one because
I'm kind of drawing a blank on the other.
We've spoken about them on this episode.
What, James Wan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was thinking of that, but I was like, is he in it though? I'm not sure if he was or wasn't.
He and Lee Winnell for Saw.
Yeah.
For Saw fame.
Well, there you go, huh?
Eli Roth. There's fucking heaps of them.
You proud of me?
I am. I actually am. Very good. Alright.
I feel like a little kid who made his dad proud.
Let's see if you can get this. We'll go into the cast now.
Oh.
So you know Big Bob.
Yep.
From this movie.
Yep.
Ted Levine.
Yep.
What other significant role has he done?
Now, this is one of those ones, as soon as I saw him, he's got one of those faces. I know him from other things.
Yeah.
But for the life of me, I could not pick it.
Can you pick the voice? Because the voice is the thing that got me straight away. I don't know if you've actually seen it. No, I talked about it previously,
what?
Like at the start of this episode, actually, okay. The movie.
What?
He is Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Well, there you go.
Looks a bit different from this movie.
Heaps.
Anyway, Kathleen Quinlan as Ethel.
What a shit name.
Yeah, right, I know, right. Dan Bird as Bobby.
Yep.
Emile D. Raven as Brenda. She's Australian, mate.
Yeah, she is.
She was also in a movie called Santa's Sleigh with Bill fucking Goldberg.
Nice.
We have to do that movie this Christmas.
Alright.
It's done. So good. Vanessa Shaw as Lynn. She was in Hocus Pocus. She was also in the movie we talked about last week called Family Blood.
Oh, there you go.
She is, you know, Lynn. The one, the baby mama.
Yes.
Yeah. Aaron Stanford as Doug.
Dougie.
Yeah. Oh, good. do you know who he's from?
No.
X-Men.
Really?
He plays a character called Pyro.
Yeah.
That's him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not pick that.
Apparently. That's what IMDb tells me.
Well, there you go.
Billy Drago as Jupiter.
Jupiter?
Yeah, so they never...
What?
Okay, so the guy right at the end with the big beard, the cannibalistic guy. We're talking about the cannibals now.
Yeah.
Right at the end, who's eating the mum.
Yeah.
That's Jupiter.
Okay.
So he's like the papa of the ball.
Okay. How the fuck are we supposed to know his name is Jupiter?
You don't. Because he never gets called Jupiter, but I only know that because of the special features.
Jupy.
No, oh, Christ. Before we continue, Jupiter is the only member of this clan who doesn't have any abnormalities.
I did notice that.
To him. The stupid thing is, now I watched the special features to this movie.
Yes.
and they gave him abnormalities. He has like a twin growing on the side of his chest.
Why would you put that there but not actually show it?
I don't know. They even made a scale of it in the computer when they're making him.
What?
Yeah, I don't get it.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. Robert Joy as Lizard.
Yes.
You know which one Lizard is? Yes, the tooth guy.
Yeah.
he was in AVP Requiem, which was a disappointment, and Land of the Dead, which, it's pretty disappointing, both of them.
Fair enough.
Michael Bailey Smith as Pluto. You know which one Pluto is?
I don't know, is that the big one that was...
Yes, the main big guy.
Yeah, okay.
He was...
What the fuck are they all named after planets for?
Only two of them are.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why. This has come back from the original.
Alright, fair enough.
He played Super Freddy in Nightmare on Elm Street 5. That was his first gig.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, so I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. So, Freddy became a superhero.
What?
It's like my worst dream come true. Wow. Horror turning to the dark side.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, but seriously, it was like, it's
Marvel Freddy.
Yo. He was also in the sequel to this one, Hills of Eyes 2.
Okay.
Where he played Chameleon. I can't remember actually which one he played, but one of them.
Yep.
Anyway. Greg Nicotero.
Ah,
we've spoken about him a bit. He plays Cyst. He's the guy with the neck.
The neck brace at the end.
Neck brace. Yeah, who doesn't talk and just walks around with a shotgun. Yeah. That was Greg Nicotero.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Your mate.
The last one I'm going to name is Laura Ortiz, who plays Ruby.
Yes, okay.
Have you seen what she looks like in real life?
No.
She's a hot piece of ace.
Really?
Yes. She's stunning.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And she's appeared in the Hatchet movies, Victor Crowley, the new Victor Crowley movie from this year, and a lot of other things.
Oh, now I know you're into some weird shit, so which way is she hotter to you?
Well, she kind of had three fingers in this one.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to know what it felt like. Three fingers. Anyway, enough weird talk.
Copping that big metal plugger.
Ben.
Yes.
I'm quite curious as to how this movie went with you, because when I went and saw this at the cinema... Okay, before we start with you, I'm going to tell you my first impressions quickly.
Okay, let's do that.
So when this movie was announced, I was really into the original films.
Yeah.
So I was really excited for this. And then the trailer came out, and I could not stop watching the trailer to this movie.
Yeah.
I had it saved on my phone. I actually bought... Like, this is back before, like, iPhones and shit. Well, before I got an iPhone or anything like that.
Yeah.
I had like a little fucking flip phone that could connect to the internet. You could go on like a movie site and buy trailers.
Yeah.
And I stupidly did that. And I watched this trailer like every lunchtime.
Yeah.
I was obsessed. And then when this movie came out, I went with a few friends of mine. Friends who are not fans of the horror genre in any way, shape, or form. And I went with them. I think actually they came with me because I was going to this movie... No matter what. So they came with me, and they walked away so impressed that one of them actually claims to this day to be one of his favorite films of all time.
Really?
Yeah. He loved it. I think it's the fact that the Doug character, how he went from being a little dick, a little pussy, to being like a man.
Yeah.
That was the part that really impressed him.
Okay.
So I walked away extremely impressed. But I was a kid at the time.
Yep.
And I bought the unrated DVD and all that stuff. And I've watched it a few times since.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it in full for a few years. And every time I try and watch it, I get to the part where after the car crashes and they walk off. And then I kind of turn it off. Just, I don't know why. Because I get bored of it, maybe.
Yeah.
But after watching it again in full in this time, I'm back on the bandwagon and I fucking love this film.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Yeah. By your reaction, you're kind of scaring me right now.
What?
You don't look as impressed as I was.
Judging by the sound of it, I'm not.
Okay.
It was alright.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
But I just didn't particularly rate it that well, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. It didn't... As I said, it wasn't negativity or anything per se, just comparing to some of the other movies we've seen and done recently, I just... Eh.
So it was an average film?
Yeah, it was average.
For you?
It wasn't bad. Okay. Yeah, I feel it's... For a movie of this length, it spent far too long, like, for this length, and realistically, for the basic sort of setup for the story...
Yeah.
All-American family going on a road trip through the desert.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's sort of like I mentioned the other week with briefly when I was touching on 28 Days Later. I feel like this sort of setup has been done before. Yeah. Family going through the desert or something, get told to take a turn somewhere and they're just sending them up to some people in the hills or something.
It is you a tiresome I mean? Trope, yes.
Like, it's already been done.
Yes.
So, and when you've got, like, it's the most basic setup for the family as well. I feel like it took far too long to get started.
Yeah.
It's almost like an hour into the movie or something before any action actually really kicks off.
And that's probably why I kind of turned it off every time before, because it took too long. I agree with you there. Yeah.
So, like, but don't get me wrong, when it gets to that scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it starts to kick off,
yeah.
the dog gets gutted. And then, you know, Big Bob gets captured.
Yeah.
And then they're cut to the caravan scene. Yeah. When it gets there, the action on that is crazy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. That is an awesome scene, you know. When the big dude, Pluto, I think you said his name is.
Yes.
Is inside.
Yeah.
And then Brenda wakes up and starts to scream and he just puts out the walkie-talkie. He goes, no! And they light it up and Big Bob's just getting burnt alive.
Yeah.
And they're using that as like a distraction to get everyone over there so they can still ransack the caravan and
mm-hmm.
fucking pump away on Brenda.
Yeah.
Like, that's brutal. It is a fucking brutal scene. And like, a surprisingly large amount of people die very quickly in like one scene.
Yeah.
I was really surprised by that, actually. I expected like Bob and maybe one other person to die and then it'd sort of go from there.
Yeah.
But like heaps of people die very quickly.
Mm, yeah.
And it's just all in like brutal ways. So that was a really cool scene. I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of, same thing, it sort of trails off again for a while before anything happens.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it takes a while and then there's a few odd things that happen in it as well. Like, I couldn't help but notice the score is really, really strange.
Like, what do you mean?
So when Doug goes through and like starts managing to like pick one off here and there and stuff, it starts playing almost like victorious action movie music behind it.
Does it?
Yeah. Did you not particularly notice?
I gotta tell you the truth, I wasn't really paying attention to the score.
I reckon if you actually
the first one.
Rewatch it, man, when he starts like picking them off and stuff, it starts playing like heroic action movie music when he's standing there.
Really?
Like big dramatic music. Like he's just killed the main villain or something. Like, it's kind of weird. It doesn't really suit this kind of movie.
Actually, it's coming back to me now. I can kind of see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The score itself, like the piece of music isn't bad, but it just doesn't suit this kind of movie. I don't understand why they did it. It sort of breaks the mood.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So, I didn't really understand that. That was a bit odd. The cinematography was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of cool open sort of shots to show, as we've said before, with similar sort of ideas, like, you know, where it's just got them, you know, off to the side of the screen and the rest is just big open desert and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, shows how desolate it is and how abandoned, like how far from society they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is important for the movie. So the cinematography is okay. It had some cool shots. No particular standouts that I noticed, nothing that really made me go, fuck, that's cool.
No, there wasn't nothing, but there were a few shots that were nice and well done.
Yeah.
But there were no, like, yeah, shots that are going to take your breath away.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean. There were a couple that were, you know, good shots, but nothing groundbreaking or nothing.
Oh, well, now I think about it, there are a few shots. Maybe it's more like you have a shot that comes over like the desert and comes over a rock, and then scorpions coming down it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was actually a scene in the in the special features where they had to actually take that shot a few times because the scorpion kept going in all different directions. And yeah, and I like that they actually used a real scorpion and not CG.
Yeah, that's cool.
So stuff like that.
Definitely true. Definitely yeah. true. But yeah, that the characters themselves were okay, but again, I found like they were acted, you know, reasonably well. I didn't really have a problem too much with the acting.
I loved the acting.
Yeah.
In this, because in this is you rarely see characters act like this when a loved one or a friend dies.
Hmm.
The way that Bobby breaks down, or Brenda yeah. breaks down, you never see that. You never see them cry or show emotion when one of their friends dies.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, if you died, I'm not gonna like shrug my shoulders and walk off.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like that happens in a lot of horror movies.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. They do sort of tend to just, you know, breeze past that bit most yeah. of the time, which is pretty fucked. But yeah, the acting was good. I didn't really have any issues with that. I thought they did well with that.
Yeah,
that part you're talking about, like with the character development and stuff, was good. I did like the acting. I reckon probably like one of the best actors in the whole thing, I reckon, was kind of Lizard.
Yeah,
found his character fucking yeah. His character was fucking weird and creepy and done well.
Yeah.
I thought that was done very well.
That guy who plays him, Robert Joy, he has one of those faces, a lot like Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Who I'm sure is a real sweetheart of a person in real life, but just looks like a creep.
Yeah, that's right, eh?
I'm sorry, Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. But yeah. So if I can, I don't know, I'm just, yeah, that was okay, like,
yeah,
but I don't know, I just feel like, yeah, I really liked that scene. The caravan scene was awesome. Pretty much everything about that I did like.
Okay.
It was brutal.
It was action packed.
Yeah, heaps of it going down, and like things you didn't necessarily expect to happen, like when not only like shooting all of their mum, but the mum with the baby.
Yes.
Like he just fucking pops her yes. straight in the head. Like, that's fucking so brutal, man.
It is, yeah.
So brutal.
Even like the scene where he rips the head off the bird and drinks his blood.
Yeah, that's yeah. heaps weird.
Yeah.
But like, you're sitting there, you like watching it, and I was like, oh, what the fuck? That's so fucking weird.
That was taken from the original, from 1977. So imagine like people's reactions to that in
yeah.
the late 70s.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like for, like I said, for somewhat of a, you know, straightforward, almost, not, you know, sort of similar, very similar stories have already been done. So for a story that doesn't really need much explaining with, you know, a family setup that doesn't need explaining, with characters that don't need explaining, it took way too long to actually get started.
Do you think there was too much character development?
Not even development, though. I really don't think any... Like, it's not until the caravan scene that any of the characters develop.
Yeah, well, that's true.
They're the same for the first part of the movie. Nothing changes. Which is what made it quite dull. I was getting really bored by the time the caravan scene actually set in.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, holy shit. And that was awesome. But then it sort of does it again. It sort of dies down again.
Yeah.
And doesn't do much again until he wanders off and finds where they actually live.
And so, okay, well, let's talk about that, because you said your dislike, I guess, for the first part, and then you liked the caravan part, but I want to talk to you about the part, like, when Doug goes after the family.
Yeah, okay, when he's, like, tracking them down.
Yes, yeah, so how do you feel about that? Because, for me, that's my favourite part.
I thought it was quite cool, actually, the way he takes Beast and fucking starts tracking him down.
Becomes a badass.
Yeah, stuff. That's right. Yep. That's cool, man. I actually quite enjoyed that.
Yep.
So that was good. And getting to the old mining town that they're sort of still all hanging out in.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was pretty cool, actually, having the whole mining aspect. And that, like, they sort of still haven't left their town. They're still there.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's basically the whole story. So it's, in realistic terms, it's their fault.
Yeah.
So it's, and they're blaming like us?
Yeah.
Well, not us, because we're not American.
Yeah, blaming people that aren't mutated.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Which is funny, but I love... So you have Big Head explaining the whole...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Big Brain, his name is. I'm only getting that from IMDb.
Yeah,
so
don't worry.
But how he... His speech as to how these people came to be and why they're like this...
Yeah.
Is... I love that scene. And yeah. When he's laughing at the end and he just goes, breakfast time. The thing I played right at the start. That scene is easily my favourite scene in the whole movie.
Yeah.
When Pluto breaks through the glass.
Yeah, that was cool. I knew one of them was going to burst in somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was cool.
It's
fucking the way he's just going ballistic with the axe, like chasing him through the house.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty fun.
That's so good.
That's pretty cool. I actually reckon one of the most satisfying points in this, I reckon, is when Big Brain, as we're going to call him, is sitting there and then Beast comes out of nowhere and starts snarling at him.
Yeah.
And just like fucking, well, you don't actually see it, but you assume he just fucking screams. Shreds him.
Yeah, but that's a cool scene. But the thing that pisses me off about this scene is the character of Doug. And a lot of people liked him, as I said before, one of my friends who really liked this movie because of this character, how he developed from a pussy to a man. But when he got to this town and he tried to sneak his daughter away...
Fuck that, man.
Yeah, especially with like that woman there. If you make a subtle noise, she's going to come after you, which she eventually did. You have a baseball bat. Go and Negan her ass.
Exactly, man. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could argue he doesn't know how many of them are around and stuff like that.
That's true.
Like, when he's sitting there trying to reason with fucking Big Brain, and he's just sort of like, you know, feeding him stories and shit. I was sitting there, I'm just like, you have a baseball bat. At what point are you going to start, like, breaking ribs or something?
Yeah.
Why are you just talking to this guy and walking away?
Exactly.
Kill the fucker.
And what?
Cave his face in, break some ribs, do something.
And, like, I don't think he walked, like, Doug walked away knowing that the dog was going to take care of Big Brain.
No, that's what I mean. I don't think so either.
Yeah. So, maybe he left him there because being alive is enough punishment for this guy enough. But still.
Fuck that, man.
Yeah, I'd be hammering him.
They, like, shot your wife. They killed you, pretty much your entire family. Exactly. And stole your baby.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving anyone alive.
That's right, exactly.
I'm letting my baby pull the trigger.
Yeah. Well, actually, the funny thing is that scene where Lizard has the gun pointed at the baby.
Yeah.
They had to shoot that so many times.
Really?
Because the baby just kept playing with the gun.
Oh, that's heaps funny.
It is, yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the effects. Because this movie is filled with effects. Like,
it is.
This could be an answer to your question. Okay. The makeup effects on Pluto or Lizard.
Yes.
How did you feel about them?
I thought those effects were done pretty well.
Yeah.
Like Lizard's in particular, the big upturned lip with the teeth sticking out and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was done well. I thought that was done very well, actually. That looked believable.
Yeah.
Completely. Or with Ruby, like the hand that she has with the three fingers and stuff. I thought that was all the mutation effects looked really, really well done.
Yeah.
But there were other effects I didn't think were so good.
Like what?
Like when Doug gets his fingers cut off.
You didn't like that?
Nah, I thought that looked fake as.
Okay.
I thought the majority of practical effects in this were not that great, to be honest.
Wow, okay.
But really, pretty much anything to do with like something going into someone's head or, you know.
Yeah.
I thought all of them, compared to other ones we've seen, these looked super fake to me. Okay. You could tell it looked to me like a rubber head or something that was getting an axe put into it or a pick put into it or something. Or
yeah.
They just did not look good to me.
Okay. Before we continue, the mutants were created by CGI, physical effects, or both.
Okay.
So most of the mutants with full deformations were created by prosthetic makeup.
Cool.
But the deformed children, you know, the Mr. Will you play with us?
But you could tell those were CG as soon as you saw them. I'm like, that's CG.
Yeah. They were distorted using tracking dots on their faces. Ruby, she was a mixture of the two.
Yeah.
So she used the tracking dots for distortion and prosthetic teeth.
Okay.
So that one was a lot better. But the children, you could see straight away that they weren't.
Yeah. Oh, instantly.
They weren't the well
done. Instantly.
Yeah. I enjoyed the effects. didn't really find anything unbelievable.
Yeah.
There were a few, like Big Brain, for example. You could see the cap where it cuts off from his roof.
You could see that. Head. Definitely.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm talking even, I think it's the axe going into Pluto's head.
Yeah.
Like, when it goes in, man. Or is it that? Or is it...
Is it Cyst?
No. I think it might be Cyst, actually.
Okay.
You see the head, like, wobble when it gets hit. You're like, that... You see it, and it breaks the illusion. Because you can tell it's just, like, a rubber head, or they've used ballistics gel, or whatever they've used to make the head.
Yeah.
But you can tell, like, straight away, like, a head would not wobble like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not... It just looked bad. And even that, the axe going into Pluto's head, even that, did not look good.
Really?
Yeah. I did not think it held up compared to other movies we've seen that do the same sort of thing with practical effects.
Yeah.
They did it way better.
Okay.
I didn't think they really held up, to be honest, in this.
Yeah. Okay. What else can we talk about? Have you got anything else to add? I'm basically almost out.
I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's like you said, the character development in this was good once it finally got to a point they started moving on.
Yeah.
Like, I liked after Bobby knew what was going on, he didn't just run back and tell everyone so they all freaked out.
Yeah.
He sort of kept it to himself but was trying to keep everyone inside the caravan, and I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Obviously Brenda reacts, like her acting was good. She reacted exactly the way you'd expect someone whose family just got fucked up and she just got raped. Like, she was just fucking like a mess for the rest of the movie, which is believable. You know, she didn't just pull herself together and be like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, she was a mess, which is what you'd expect from that.
That's right.
So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was good. We've already touched on Dougie's development. That's cool. That's one other practical effect that I want to talk about now that I mention it, is the actual burning of Big Bob.
Okay, yeah.
That looked fucking bad.
Yeah, okay. I can understand that.
That looked bad.
Yeah, yeah. But just the thought of...
Oh, man, the scene itself still holds up. Like, it doesn't ruin the actual scene.
Yeah.
The thought of being tied up there and getting burnt alive.
Yeah.
Like, it's still fucked up, still makes your skin crawl, and the scene is still crazy. But just the actual effect of it, like the, that does not look good.
Yeah. All right, well, let's rate and finish this bitch. So, Benjamin.
You were going to say rate and review, weren't you?
I was, yeah, you got me. Damn it. I thought I hit that.
No. You had nothing from me.
Yeah. Nothing gets past you.
Except most things.
Except what?
Except most things.
Alright, well, you want to start first?
Yeah, alright.
I'm going to give this a 5.
I'm torn. I'm on the fence between a 5 and a 6.
Okay.
I did, like I said, when it got there, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I just feel like it was... Fuck, I'll go a 6. I'll give it a 6.
Nice.
I did... like it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again.
Okay.
There were, as I said, drawbacks in terms of not particularly finding the effects amazing or so on and so forth, and the story taking a long time to get there. But when it did get going, it did have some good stuff in it. So I feel like if I watched it again knowing what I was in for, I'd probably actually enjoy it a bit more.
Yeah.
Rather than expecting it to be like super go nuts awesome.
Yeah.
If I know what I'm expecting, I'd probably actually enjoy it more. I'm gonna give it a 6.
6 is a good score.
Hmm.
I'm coming in higher.
Yeah.
Obviously. Do you have a guess what I'm gonna score it?
I think you're probably gonna give it maybe an 8.
Oh, snap! Boom!
Oh, boom!
Very good. Yeah, I'm coming in with an 8 out of 10. I really enjoy this film.
Nice.
It does, and that's what kind of pulls it down, is some of the effects... I'll agree. That fish right at the start.
Yes.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. And
I forgot about that.
And yeah, I agree with you. It does drag out. But besides that, I have a lot of fun. Just some of the shocking nature in the film, like the drinking of the blood's bird.
Yes.
Sorry, drinking of the blood's
bird.
Drinking of the bird's blood is so cool.
Yeah, it is actually. That is cool, and it's fucking weird and
off-putting. Yeah. And I can't recall another horror that's ever done that.
Yeah. Or watching fucking Lizard like breastfeed.
Yes.
That's fucking weird. Yeah. Oh, it's so as. Weird.
Because she had some nice tits.
Yeah.
From what you saw.
Yeah.
So,
she was hot. She was
milf. I put this up as one of the better remakes.
Yeah, okay. There.
Not the best, but like in comparison to Friday the 13th remake.
Yeah.
I probably prefer this more.
Fair enough.
What else is there? Nightmare on Elm Street, I prefer this more.
Yep.
So there's a few remakes where I prefer this one more.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And Alexandre Aja, I like him as a director.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's Hills of Eyes. Before we finish it, just a few little trivia notes that I've got here.
Yes.
So the gas station set was built on location in Morocco. That's where they recorded. It was so authentic that occasionally someone not involved in the production would stop to buy gas. It's funny. This movie, Ben, did you know this movie is based on a true story? I feel like I say this every fucking second week, yeah.
I feel like you're just starting to make it up.
No, I swear, yeah. This movie and the original were inspired by the legend of Alexander Sawney Bean, the psychopathic head of a Scottish clan that reportedly killed 1,000 people to feed their inbred brood. Bean and company would set booby traps for travellers and then attack. Eventually, the disappearances drew the attention of King James VI. V1 is 6, right?
Yes.
Cool. Who put an end to Bean's reign and massacred his entire family. Although some say the whole thing never happened and was a smear campaign by the British, many still believe that the Sawney tale was real.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So, believe it or not, either way, it's based off a kind of true story.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it for the Hills Have Eyes for this week. So, a song. I'm going to have a break here. Quick second. And I think that there's only one real... Actually, that, you know, there's a really cool rock song at the end of the credits of this movie that I really like. And I was going to pick that, but I'm in the mood for some California Dreaming.
Ah.
On such a winter's day, Ben.
Fair enough.
So here we are. The Mamas and the Papas. Getting, is that 60s or 70s?
This song came out. Oh, you got me now.
Yeah. I'm going to take a limb and go 60s.
I was thinking 60s.
Yeah.
But like late 60s.
Yeah.
I think.
Either way, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy the jam. We'll be back with some more stuff after this.
Jam? I thought we were getting music. All the leaves are brown.
it's Under the Bed Reviews.
Ben, I had a pretty good weekend last weekend, I gotta say.
Did you now?
I got some time alone.
What
the
is that?
The missus was at work. The kids were at the in-laws. Well, one of them was. Yeah. So it was just me and the little guy, me and Jay.
Yeah.
So I got some horror movies in.
Nice.
I got to sit down and watch some horror movies.
Holy crap.
I got to tell you, man, it's been a while since I've sat down and really focused on a good film.
Yeah.
And when we did Terminator 2 last night, I stepped away from the horror genre for a second, and I really think that helped a lot.
It like helps clear your mind, clear your vision.
Yeah, because I think I just had enough horror for a while. I just needed that quick break.
That's it.
And that's helped so much. So I watched three movies last week.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is hype is such a dangerous word, you know?
That it really is. It can make or break a movie.
It really can. Look at Get Out last year. That had so much hype going around it that, I walked away a little disappointed. Yep. Not going to lie.
Yep.
Good movie, but the hype just killed it. The thing with these three films that I watched is that two of them, they didn't get the worst reviews ever, but they've got very ordinary reviews. The other film has been in raving reviews.
Mm.
Absolutely enormous reviews, saying that best movie of this year coming out.
What?
These three films, after I walked away watching all three of them.
Yep.
Maybe it was the hype machine that just put these three films on the same level plane.
Yep.
Oh, not the same level plane. The one movie that I'm going to be reviewing, the one that got the rave reviews, was slightly better than the other two.
Yep.
I'll say that. But the other two with the ordinary reviews, I actually had a really good time watching those two.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not going to name those two. Actually, I might as well. The three films I watched were Winchester, Pie Wacket.
What?
Yeah, it's called Pie Wacket.
Yeah, right.
Interesting name. And the movie that I'm going to be reviewing tonight is called Revenge.
Revenge.
No, Ben, it's French.
I don't even know how to say that in French.
Neither do I. Oui, oui.
That's Revenge.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. That's good. All right, so the plot is... this is coming straight on from IMDb. Never take your mistress on an annual guy's getaway, especially one devoted to hunting. A violent lesson for three wealthy married men. We're in rape and revenge territory, Benjamin.
Ooh.
Yeah. Look, rape and revenge, it's not really a subgenre of horror that I really like. And it's not because of the graphic nature or anything like that. It's just because I feel it's so tiresome.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of bored with it. Basically, you know what's funny is it's basically a lot like the slasher genre.
Yeah.
And where you're only in it to see people get fucked up.
That's true.
So I went into this knowing that it's rape and revenge, so I already wasn't really into it.
Yep.
The first thing that I noticed, the first little thing, is it starts off with a helicopter coming across some mountains.
Yeah.
And then it peers into a guy's sunglasses and comes out into one of the best shots I've ever seen on film.
Really?
It was incredible. There's people making memes of this shot.
Really?
That's how good it was. Yes, it was so good.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Now, the thing about this movie is, as I said before, it's done by a French cast. I know the director's French and most of the actors are French.
Mm-hmm.
French woman, which is a bit different. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But I don't know much about France, but this movie, for the most part, was spoken in English, but then spliced in were dialogues of French.
Okay.
That's
French. A bit random.
Yeah. So
are they subtitled when they do that?
Yeah, it's subtitled, but I don't know why they go from French to English. Not really a nitpick or a dislike. I just was
curious.
Yeah, I didn't understand it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. Before I continue, I'm going to tell you this right now. Not since, off the top of my head.
Ah.
Dick. on the top of my head, not since 2013's Evil Dead have I seen a movie that is as gory as Revenge is.
Really?
I would probably say that this is probably gorier Or sorry, this probably had more blood than Evil Dead, coming from the human body. Because the thing about Evil Dead Remake is that a lot of that was coming from the sky.
True.
So you take that away, this one had, yeah, definitely, this one had a lot more blood. Fuck coming yeah. from the human body. It is a fucking gore fest.
That is brutal.
Yes, it is. The thing about this film also is that you don't go in with this ideal of believability, because yeah, there's okay. points in this film that are so unbelievable to the point of I was yelling at the TV going, oh, come on, that's bullshit.
Oh, really?
So don't go in expecting a true told story.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a sit back and just have fun with it.
Yeah, okay.
To suspend your disbelief, okay? Now, I said before that the director is a female woman.
Yep.
And this is where it differs in a way from other rape and revenge films. Because the original rape and revenge films like I Spit on Your Grave or Last House on the Left, etc., etc., yeah. they always have the same thing, that the person who is raped is a decent, well thought out human being. Young yeah. girl. Just doing her own thing, not doing anything bad or anything like that. In this film, while she's not like exactly, she's not Hitler in any way, but she's not the best person in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she's not like, she's a mistress.
Yeah.
She knows exactly what she's doing and she's there for the right reasons. Well, sorry, the wrong reasons.
The wrong reasons.
The right reasons for her, but yes. the wrong reasons for everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something I really liked.
Yeah, okay.
This movie, when I came out of it, little disappointed just because of the hype. I said that before. The hype, people talking about how it's the best movie you'll see all year and stuff like that. Yeah, and I walked away yeah. going, yeah, it was fine, but it's something I've seen
yeah.
before. But then it stayed with me for the next 2 days and I just kept replaying scenes of it because there was a few scenes in this movie that made my blood run cold.
Really?
It was, it made my spine shiver. And it's nothing Whoa. That impressive.
Yeah.
It involves a cut.
Hmm.
I don't want to say too much. It involves a cut on a foot. And he has to dig something out of this cut. It's a simple Whoa. Little thing. But the extremes they go with this, it just made my blood run cold. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like,
it's just the use of the word dig.
Yeah.
That just makes it like, ugh.
Yeah, it was like, I had to clench my hand a few times because it was like, oh, this is making me uncomfortable. Oh. Not uncomfortable, but like, I was yeah. feeling that pain that this guy's going through.
That's good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that. And so, yeah, it played on my mind a lot. And you know what? I decided to put my rating at a 9 out of 10.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and When I finished watching this movie, I was telling Jaleesa about it. I'm like, look, I wouldn't show you because Jaleesa's so against rape in movies.
Yeah, okay.
And it just pisses me off if a rape scene comes on a movie because she doesn't stop bitching.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking hell, I didn't make this movie. Shut yeah. up. But I would love to watch this movie again with someone else. So for you, for example, I'd love to watch it with you because I feel you would have a blast with this movie.
Yeah, cool.
The soundtrack is fucking awesome.
Fuck yeah.
It's great. The story, unbelievable to the shithouse, but it's a fun ride.
Yeah.
This is on par at the moment right now, sitting at my number one spot for 2018.
Really?
Sitting with American Satan.
Fucking yeah. hell, man.
Yeah.
You love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, so if that's any indication, I say go and check this out. It's streaming on Shudder right now for you lucky people that can get Shudder. Not like us fucking poor Australians who don't yeah. get Shudder.
Us fucking convicts get yeah. shipped off to the corner of the world.
Yeah, but it's on Shudder. For everyone else out there, I know in America, it is screening on some cinemas, selected cinemas. If you have a cinema that's screening this movie, go out and see it. I think this would be a blast in a cinema.
Fuck yeah.
For us Australians, just wait a bit. But when it comes out, I urge you all to go check this out.
So how do you say it?
I can't say.
Ah, naughty boy.
Yeah, we won't say anything. I'm not going to get in trouble.
No, that's right.
this is one that I actually want to buy.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so before we jump into our next thing, there's two things that I want to also talk about before we continue.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch Ash vs. Evil Dead?
I watched a few, like, I think I've seen, like, the first two or three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, though.
What would you think? What did you think?
I thought it was alright. I don't want to keep giving it a go. But
yep.
I just sort of never got around to it.
So, unless you're living under a rock, you know that it was cancelled.
Yes.
Bruce Campbell has come out and said that he's retiring the character of Ash.
Yep.
I know I'm coming in a bit late to the party, but I finally got around to finishing season 3 and finishing the whole show as it is.
Yeah.
And I got to say, man, I'm a little upset.
Really?
Just because of how much fun I had with that season.
Yeah.
The show itself. Season 3, and what you said just then is exactly how I was. I watched season 1 in full, had fun with it. Season 2 came around and I watched halfway through, and then I kind of just fell off.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it's maybe because it was just the same thing.
Yeah,
every episode. Enough. And I kind of got over it in a way. And it didn't... It took me a while to get back into it. But when I was back into it, I don't know if it was just a slap in the face and it just got me hooked back into it, but season 3 I had such a blast with. The lines of dialogue were making me piss myself. The action was just over the top. Some of the shit that they did, I don't know how it got approved.
Yeah.
And the finale to season 3 is such a disappointment because it's so good, but it leaves it with such a cliffhanger. That I fucking really, really want to know what happens. Like, it's something that you can live without.
Yeah.
You can be like, that's it. No more Ash. I'm happy, but I want to know what happens next.
It's going to be open-ended with a lot of fan theories, Exactly.
But, like, if you haven't checked out Ash vs. Evil Dead, I urge you all to go check it out. It's such a fun blast. It's worth a shot. Thank you to Stars for giving it a chance and letting them do what the fuck they wanted, because they really let them do everything they wanted.
Fuck yeah.
The last thing before we continue is not exactly a horror thing, but I'm a big fan of The Karate Kid. And I know a lot of people out there are as well. If you have not heard of this, I urge you all to check this out. Cobra Kai. This is coming to us from YouTube. YouTube Red. Now, the first two episodes are for free on YouTube.
Really?
Yes, and this is basically the story of the Karate Kid, but coming at us from present day.
Wow!
So you know the Karate Kid was the 80s.
Yeah.
This is as if, like, coming to us from now. Those two characters living in 2018.
Yeah. Okay.
And the it happened in the first season. It finally happened. The problems I had with the Karate Kid are actually addressed in the first episode.
What?
The fact that Daniel-san was the fucking dick the whole time. He took the girl off him, off Johnny. He won off an illegal move and basically ruined Johnny's life.
That's true.
And they actually address it in the first episode. And they did this and I was like, holy shit, I'm fucking hooked in this show.
That's heaps funny.
I've only seen the first two episodes, but because of this, I'm buying YouTube Red because I need to know what happens next. It is so enjoyable. The soundtrack, straight up, Nothing But a Good Time by Poison.
Fuck yeah.
It's so good. He's still living in the 80s, so it's got those 80s references, the 80s soundtrack, the 80s cars and all that stuff.
That's sick.
It's awesome. From what I've seen, I've loved it, and I'm going to go home after this and probably bang out the whole rest of the season. Yeah. So, hey, not horror, but I feel it's something that horror fans can appreciate.
Nice.
I mean, it comes from the 80s, and every horror fan loves the 80s.
That's true.
Yeah. So, that's Cobra Kai. Check it out. All right, Ben. We're into the votes, right? The voice of the people?
I believe so, Tim. It's time to hear the voice of the people.
Yes, it is. All right, I have a bit of explaining to do. Some people, I feel some people were actually...
some explaining, bro.
I feel some people were a bit upset.
Whoa.
So I've just showed Ben the...
What the fuck?
The votes for this week. So last week's clue was cave, I believe. The options were The Descent versus The Cave. I know The Descent's from 2005. I'm not too sure where The Cave's from. Before I tell you the winner, a few people were messaging me going, are you fucking serious? Why? Why are these two movies going head to head? And I said, I have a good reason for this. And I'm going to tell you the real reason why right now. I rigged this voting system to the shithouse.
No!
I know, right? So basically, we have a friend of ours. You've heard him before, Todd. Big red guy, even though you can't see him.
He sounds red, though.
He's one of his favorite films is The Descent.
He does love it.
Yep. Yeah. And he's wanted to join us on an episode and talk about this certain film. But I can't just give it to him.
That's right.
He needs to work for it.
That's right. But so we're going to rig things so it happens exactly the way we want it.
Exactly.
So Todd has to work for it.
Exactly. So I put him up against The Cave, which I've seen once, but it was years and years ago, and all I remember is it sucked. So I knew...
That makes this so much better.
So I knew that The Descent was going to run with this. And Jesus fucking Christ.
Apparently 7% of people don't agree with you that it sucked, though.
Well, yeah, that's a bit of a shock. So we had 166 votes all up.
Fuck yeah, guys. I'm loving this voting turnout. cheeky little minxes.
166 votes. 93% of those votes went to The Descent. So, I think it's safe to say that we're doing The Descent for next episode. So, listeners who contacted me, Darian and Christy, don't be upset.
Yeah. Please stop sending hate mail. It makes him cry.
All right, but the clue for this week, for the next two head-to-head movies that are going up. Oh, Benjamin.
For the record, we'd like to clarify not every vote is rigged.
Oh, yeah. This one coming up, like this one, the next one. This one is I'm putting two movies up against each other and I can't even pick which one I want to vote for because I love them both.
Fuck yeah.
And I'm going to give you a break, right? Huh? In the Hills of Eyes today, pretty decent horror film. Pretty in-depth horror film, but doing The Descent. Some people would say it's one of the most terrifying films out there.
Fuck yeah.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. So the clue for next time is comedy horror.
Ooh. I do love a good comedy horror.
These ones are... They're not the mainstream... Oh, well, to the everyday person, they're not the mainstream comedy horror.
We're doing Sharknado, aren't we?
No. No. These two films, I love both of these films.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people out there love both these films. Hell yeah. I can see this one going either way.
All right.
And either way I'm happy with. But yeah. So be on the lookout for that.
All right. I'm keen.
Comedy horror. If you know the answer, let us know. All right, Ben. Let's get into our last section of the night. Let's talk about a little album.
Alrighty.
On what's pumping on your iPod. Working 9 to 5. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Straight out of Compton. Crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. Excellent. What's pumping on your iPod? The album's name is Reverence. This literally came out a week ago.
That's true.
This is Parkway Drive.
Tonight I'm going!
All We're talking about Parkway Drive's new album.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Before we talk about the actual album, let's talk about the band itself, because if you don't know about Parkway Drive, they are an Australian act.
Yeah, they are. They're our claim to fame.
Yeah. Now, the funny thing about Parkway is, I'm going to go on a limb right now and say that they're our generation's AC/DC. Now, before you say anything, hear me out.
All right.
We always get told by our parents that they went and saw AC/DC at the local pub back when they were starting.
That's true.
This is what Parkway Drive's been for us. We used to see them.
That is true. We see them like at our local little fucking community hall.
How many times?
Packed out shows.
Yeah.
Like tearing it up.
How many times do you reckon you've seen? Yeah. How many times do you reckon you've seen Parkway Drive? Like, same. Well, they literally, from where we lived, or from you, played 10 minutes down the road every fucking second weekend, basically. So we've seen them a few times. Now, I said on last week's show that wasn't a big fan of them because they were mean to me.
Yeah, what's that?
And here's why. It's actually not that great of a story, I've got to tell you truthfully. So they were playing a gig in Sydney.
Yeah.
A place called the Gaelic Theatre. Yeah. Gaelic Club? Gaelic Club, I think it was called.
I don't know, I just remember it was the Gaelic.
Okay, the Gaelic.
Yeah.
Small little venue in the heart of Sydney, closed down now. Just like every other fucking venue in Sydney. Anyway, when we were checking them out, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was never big into Parkway. I wasn't into their music, but my friends loved them. So I always just tagged along because there was nothing better to do on a Saturday night. But this place where they were playing, small little venue, had an upstairs balcony that people could watch from. That was the under-18s, and the over-18s would be the dance floor, the main section. And this place didn't have security much at all, actually, and it was very easy to get up on stage.
Yeah.
So I did. I got up on stage and I was pissed, very pissed.
Yeah.
And started a headbang. And I believe his name's Winston.
Yes, the singer, Winston.
Basically all I heard is say, "Get off the stage, fat cunt," and pushed me off. Because I was husky. I don't know if I was fat. But, yeah. But and I told Julissa this story, and she acted much like yourself. And she goes, did people, like, crowd surf you? I'm like, no. It wasn't like that scene in School of Rock where Jack Black falls, like, to his death and gets smashed. No, like, a few people tried, so I didn't land, like, badly. But I didn't, like, crowd surf, and it wasn't a cool moment. No, it was kind of embarrassing. So
that makes me, I'm going to have word to Winston for being mean to my team. Alright Winston, if you're listening to this, I've got a bone to pick with you. Alright
yeah, wear some better clothes.
That too.
And that's another reason why I was never a fan of them, because I go off look a lot.
You do judge a book by its cover.
I gotta admit I do. And these guys, like, they always just rocked up to their gigs where they looked like they just came from the beach, basically. Wearing short shorts and fucking frilly t-shirts. They did not look like metal guys.
Pretty much where they came from, so.
Yeah, I know, but Jesus, dress the part. Wear a black t-shirt or something.
Yeah, conform.
Yeah. And another reason why I was never a fan of them is because one of their t-shirts was basically just their name with a picture of Leatherface. Well, the fact that people would walk around with this t-shirt, and it used to annoy me because it'd be like, "Do you know who that is?" Like, "Yeah, it's Parkway Drive."
Is that like
when that's fucking Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Is that like when you see heaps of people walking around in like Ramones shirts and Motorhead shirts and stuff, and you're like, "Do you know who that is?" And they're like, "Huh?"
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that infuriates
me. Fair enough.
Yes. But yeah, that was then. This is now. So this band they've grown up a lot.
Man, their sound has turned around like completely
from what it was. It's crazy.
It is the biggest turnaround. And like, I will admit, I listened to early Parkway. I liked them like at the start, their first couple of albums.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really keep up with them. And they've had a few albums since then. And I was actually talking to Huxley about this.
Yeah.
And apparently on the last few albums, they were sort of starting to change their sound a bit, but hadn't quite figured it out or gotten there.
Yep.
And now, in like one album, they just fucking hit it right on the head.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that me and Ben like this album a little bit.
This album is fucking incredible.
And
like, any of you who may have listened to Parkway before, it's true, they definitely had like a way more hardcore sound before, and like,
yeah,
you may have listened to them before or just never heard of them full stop, which is probably unlikely, but if you didn't like them then, still listen to this album.
Yes.
This album is just fucking ridiculous.
Look, I should be the poster boy for this band's album.
Yeah.
Because I hated Parkway Drive back in their early days. I hated the hardcore sound. The formula of hardcore was just the same shit of every band, even their dance moves. But when I got this album, I got this album because of you. Because yeah, you showed that's me the true new single. And I've got to say, it blew me away. And usually it takes me a couple of listens to get into an album.
Yeah.
There are songs from this album that I was hooked instantly.
Same. I thought the same thing. Normally, a lot of times when I get an album now, I've got to listen to it like probably 3 times before I actually start to be like, that's pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
But like, this album, pretty much every track, first listen through, I was just like, that's fucking epic.
Yeah.
I think I listened to this album the day I got it on repeat. I think I listened to it about 4 times.
Yeah, I was
start to finish like 4 times.
Yeah, I was pretty much the same. I've been listening to this a week now. I've had it for a week now, a bit over a week, and I'd love to know actually how many times I've listened to the album.
Yeah,
it's been a fair few times.
I listened to the whole thing again this afternoon before we did this show.
Yeah, I listened to it today as well. The funny thing is, I love this album that much that I actually went and got Parkway's last album.
Yeah,
I don't know how to pronounce it. Ear? It's I-R-E. Ear? I don't know.
I-R-E.
Yeah, something like that. It's got the song that you and me know, the...
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. Vice Grip, it's called. So we knew that song. Cool song. And that album is almost as good as this one.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
But they still had that hardcore sound to them.
Yeah.
Where they do the breakdowns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they were still ironing out some kinks. This one to me is just short of being perfect.
Yeah. I would definitely say this album is like all killer, no filler.
What?
The only part I would define as filler, and not even filler, but just not as hectic as the rest of the album, is the last track.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
The start of it is cool, and then it turns into like a spoken word track, which is really unusual. I don't really know why it went that way.
No,
and I'm not usually a fan of spoken word tracks.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah, translucent flesh. Fuck, I hate that song. But yeah, so like the start of it's cool because it's got like a bit of an instrumental background.
Yeah.
But then that cuts out and it just turns to spoken word, and I was just kind of like, huh?
You struggle to even call it a song.
Yeah, it's just kind of random. But even then, the first part of it, at least when it's got an instrumental to it, so to speak, it's not bad.
No.
It's only the last half of it when it just turns to straight spoken word. I was kind of like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
I mean, I get, the end of an album, but I don't really...
I know, and they really kind of left it without a bang. Like, they could have, like, put one of, like, another big, massive track there and just left it as a bang.
If it went out with a bang, it'd just be, like, fucking perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just sort of, it, like, winds down, and then literally, even in the last track, as we said, like, the last track even dies out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
it's
it.
It's kind of a... I suppose it's one way of ending it if you want to end it that way. But I would have preferred... The rest of the album is just like so... Such high intensity with every track that it just seems a bit of a strange way to leave it.
You know what I was just thinking of then? You just thought... Put this thought in my mind. Now, hear me out. What if this... And I don't really like this idea, but what if they're going for this one being a part one album and then they're going to come out with a part two later this year?
Possibly.
Kind of what Stone Sour did.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't really like that.
I don't understand the concept of a two-part album. I don't really get it.
No, not really.
They're just two separate albums.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's just like putting the name on there, part one and part two.
Yeah.
It's not a continuous, unless you do a fucking...
It's like a movie.
Yeah.
The other thing, there was three problems I had with this album.
Yeah.
Only three. And the last track, I can't even call it a song. The last track on this album was one of them.
Yes.
The other one was the first song. Ends really abruptly.
It does.
And not a dislike, just like, oh, okay. So I was really digging that. I really dig that song, but then it just kind of ends. It just stops.
It does.
Just so abruptly.
True.
The third problem I had with this film.
Yes.
This album is not really a problem. Actually, it might work in its favor.
Yeah.
It's very short.
Yeah. See, I like that.
Yeah, I can understand why.
Yeah,
I find
it's, again though, like, it's a shorter album, which one is good because I can listen to the whole thing in the space of an hour.
Yeah,
which I like.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Two, especially if you cut out the last track. And two, I feel that that's one of the reasons that it can be all killer, no filler. Yeah. If you wanted the album to be another 25 minutes long, that's an extra 4 or 5 tracks that have to go on there.
Yeah.
And that's when, yeah, you start letting songs in that normally wouldn't make the cut.
Yeah.
And you let them in so you can finish your album.
Yeah. That's why I say it might work in its favour.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here being selfish.
I like it because it's that fucking good. I'd rather just listen to it again than listen to more tracks that aren't as good.
Yeah. No, that's probably a good thing too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So yeah, the new sound, by the way, we haven't actually really touched on it. We just keep saying that word hardcore. It's like, it has tiny little hardcore elements in it,
mm-hmm.
but they've done it so well with such like a groove. Like a lot of it, a few different tracks have a different feel to it. They've definitely gone just like sort of straight metal rock feel.
Yeah,
but a couple of them definitely have like a real groove kind of feel to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Groove metal.
Whereas other parts are just straight up headbanging. Like the first track actually has a massive Devil Driver feel to it to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
And yeah. Like even his voice actually sounds similar to it. And his voice has done a massive turnaround as well. He's gone from like the hardcore screaming to like awesome fucking rock singing in it, eh?
Yeah.
He's got a gnarly voice.
It's funny because there's a track on this album that has elements of black metal to it. Especially with the vocals.
Yes.
So it's very diverse.
Which is weird because I don't normally like black metal, but I do like that song.
Yeah, right? So it's a very all-around type of album.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that we can say about this album. It's aggressive as fuck.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to kick your ass.
It is, in a good way.
Yeah.
It's going to kick your ear anuses.
So, okay. It's pretty safe to say that we both recommend this album.
True.
I think it's pretty safe to say that you should go buy this
from both
of our recommendations.
You should absolutely buy this album.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, if you are a fan of rock, metal, even punk, this is a definite buy.
Yeah.
Just go out and get it. I feel like you'll enjoy every second of it.
Straight up, this album shreds.
Yeah.
No regrets.
So as for the song we're going to play, dude, I want to play The Void.
Yeah, I think we should play The Void. This is definitely one of the grooving tracks I was talking about. The feel of this riff, straight off the bat, is just fucking...
This is one of the tracks that just hooked me straight away. When you showed me, I said, I'll stop you right there.
Five seconds of that riff playing.
It's so catchy, dude.
It really is,
it's nuts.
Dude, I got one of the dudes at work that's not even like a metal fan, and he keeps putting this song on in the truck.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how he's good. So yeah, well, that's saying a lot. So if you're not a fan of metal or rock, I feel you'll enjoy this song.
That's true.
If you don't, hey, let us know.
And enjoy it anyway.
Yeah. Alright, the album that we're going to be reviewing next week is by a band that not many people have heard.
Ooh.
They're called The Birthday Massacre.
I have definitely not heard of
them. Okay, good. Different kind of sound. What would you call it? Synth goth rock.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I found this album on my just at a random because I like the album cover. But we'll be talking about whatever I liked it or didn't like it next week. The album name is Under Your Spell.
Okay.
Yeah. From 2007.
Well, there you go.
So yeah, we'll talk about that next week. But before then, if you like us, if you want to listen to more, please rate and review us. You can do that on iTunes under the Padded Room Podcast link. We are proud members of the Padded Room Podcast Network.
Yes, we are.
That includes us, the Padded Room Podcast, and Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. I gotcha.
Yeah.
If you like our stuff, if you want to say hi, if you want to talk about this episode, you can do that at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com, or you can check us out on the Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/horrorfordummies. Ben, look at this. I'm not stuffing up.
I know.
I'm so proud of myself.
It's cause... So you've given yourself the warm-up. Instead of doing it all at the start of the show and just going... Blah, blah,
blah, that's true.
You've loosened your tongue. You've relaxed your jaw.
Yeah.
I'm going to slip it in.
Wow.
What?
All right, but if you like all that stuff, please give us a call, man. We're not going to bite. We're here. It's true. We're friendly guys.
Yeah, we are. Super friendly.
Yeah.
We can get real friendly if you want.
But until next time, this has been Horror for Dummies episode 36. I had to think for a second. I couldn't remember what episode we're up to.
I know.
It's getting there, man.
It's getting there.
He's the dummy Ben.
I am the dummy Ben.
I'm the guy, Tim.
It's true.
I don't have a name for myself.
He's Tim, a guy.
I'll just be Tim, the guy.
Yeah.
Alright, this is The Void by Parkway Drive. Kick back, enjoy, and let us know what you think on the next episode when we cover The Descent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.